You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hello, season's greetings, and welcome back to Pod on the Tyne Match Day. Only one Premier League fixture on Boxing Day this year, and Eddie Howe's men will be hoping to improve on recent away performances against Manchester United at Old Trafford. George Corgan and Luke Edwards made the trip across the Pennines for this one. Let's catch up with them at the start of their journey.
All right, here we go. Well, it's me and you, Luke. Boxing Day road trip.
I wouldn't want to spend my Boxing Day with anyone else.
No, absolutely not.
All right. Actually, there are a few people, actually, if you think about it, but it's nice to be here.
Yeah, a few billion people. Anyway, have you had a nice Christmas?
I've had a very nice Christmas, yes, thank you. Although I do need to detox, I think, quite rapidly.
Well, we're not going to be doing a lot of drinking on this road trip.
No, but how was your Christmas?
It was fine, yes, it was okay.
What food did you have?
Because
you
always... Turkey, I brined a turkey, but unfortunately I brined it really badly, and so it was extraordinarily salty.
Oh,
that was a disaster.
It looked like.
But anyway, here we are, Newcastle United at Old Trafford. What are we feeling ahead of this end of this game?
Well, first of all, this was always going to be the game that was chosen, wasn't it? Where as soon as you saw the fixture list and realised it was only going to be one game, which I'm going to complain now. I can't believe there's only one Premier League game on Boxing Day. But yeah, it's slightly apprehensive. That might be the hangover. But I am also slightly apprehensive because we all know Newcastle away from home this season have been disappointing, shall we say, vulnerable.
You don't know what you're going to get with Newcastle, do you? I mean, I think I still have a bit of that enthusiasm from Chelsea.
Okay.
The first half was so good, so impressive, so much that Newcastle under Eddie Howe that we know. I'm choosing to sort of think about that and forget about the second half. When, lest it be forgotten, Chelsea were actually a lot better than they were in the first half. It is a failing of us, I think, as a podcast, as a people who are obsessed with Newcastle. You never ever think about the other team
who
were involved in the match. And Chelsea were a lot better in the second half, I thought. Anyway, I'm going to concentrate on that. I'm going to think about last Boxing Day when Newcastle beat Man United, didn't they, at Old Trafford?
Absolutely no idea.
Yeah, well, I'm going to think about that. And when Newcastle were on that extraordinary run of form that saw them win at Old Trafford, win at Tottenham, and win at Arsenal the League Cup, which they'd never won at those three, against those three clubs away from home in the same season.
There are signs it's turning into a more Eddie Howe type Newcastle. I think there are. They've only lost one in seven.
But it also comes, it feels like it comes at a bit of an inflection point. You know, there is grumbling, there is a bit of uncertainty. Yes. The away form has been poor.
There's going to be some grumbling on this road trip.
And there's going to be grumbling on this road trip. And whether we like it or not, this is a transitional season. And I think it's an interesting test of whether Newcastle are prepared for a transitional season. Mm-hmm. This has been an extraordinary year where what we've all wanted to happen has happened. And now we're sort of coming to terms with the fact that being good isn't necessarily straightforward.
No, well, progress is never linear, is it? And I think transitional season is a really good word for it, but... Their league form does need to improve. I mean, we can say one defeat in seven, but there are a pattern of failings happening, aren't there? They're not keeping clean sheets. They are conceding late goals. They're not holding on for wins. So all of those things need to improve in 2026.
Well, we'll probably stop at T-Bay on the way down just to lighten the load. You'll hear from both of us after the match. I might talk to you about the team if I can be bothered. But otherwise, speak very soon. Yeah, look forward to it. Let's go.
Let's get this show on the road.
Yeah. So it's 6:45, I'm in the press room at Old Trafford and the teams are just out. Perhaps not surprisingly, Newcastle United are unchanged from their game against Chelsea. I say unsurprisingly, the way Newcastle started that match was fabulous. Started with real intent, pressing from the front, showing great vigour and energy and endeavour. The result may not have gone the way that everyone would have wanted, but it was a great tone setter. And remarkably, this is actually the longest gap they've had between matches, not including international breaks, since August. So they've not only had a bit of time on the training pitch, they've perhaps had time to rest and recover. I guess the big question is, can they go again in the same sort of style, or do they revert to type? There's been a lot of poor away performances this season. In terms of big decisions, well, Nick Pope has not come straight back into the team. He's on the bench. I'd also like to make mention of Jacob Murphy, who makes his 200th Premier League appearance for Newcastle. That's some achievement, bearing in mind where he was pre-takeover. It is also Eddie Howe's 200th match in charge for Newcastle. Can he bring up his double century in a positive way? We will wait and see. Okay, well, safe to say that didn't quite go to plan. Newcastle United find new and interesting ways to not win away matches. They've lost again. That's five defeats away from home in the Premier League. They're 11th at the time of recording. They've still only scored seven goals away from home in the Premier League. Four of those came at Everton in a single match. And it's more disappointment. But it's a kind of different disappointment tonight, because Newcastle should have got something out of that game, shouldn't they, Luke?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's why it's sort of harder to take, really, because I don't know if it's harder to take. Look, you go back to the away games against West Ham and Brentford, and they were awful. Like, they were terrible and deserved to lose. And it was, you know, shocking performances. The standard was really bad. But tonight, I know, I think that, I've not seen them dominate a second half away from home like that for a long time. And the lot of their play was good. There was a lot to like about it, apart from the final third. Sorry, we're just weaving our way through crowds at the minute. You know, they had a lot of pressure. They had a lot of ball. They put a lot of crosses into the box. I think it's the most crosses they've had all season. They had loads of touches in the opposition box, but they didn't take the chances they did create, and they didn't create enough of them. So I think Eddie Howe's called it a deadly mix, hasn't he? Which I think was a very good phrase. They're conceding soft goals away from home. It's a terrible goal. It's a good strike, but I think Ramsdale should save it, and he should never have been given that time and space. And then they're not scoring enough goals away from home. So it is a problem. And if we're being blunt, it is in danger of ruining their season. If they don't start improving their away form, they are going to be stuck in mid-table, and they are going to miss out on that top eight spot, which I think is the par for them this season.
Yeah, I mean, if we go back to the start of the evening, it was an unchanged team for Newcastle. I think probably very understandable in the circumstances, bearing in mind how they'd set about that game against Chelsea. Also had 6 days off, which I think is the longest break they've had since August, not including international breaks, which is pretty extraordinary. There was a bit of a dodgy first few minutes, I thought, but then Newcastle were the strongest side. They then do concede the goal, and sadly, away from home this season, you know that means game over. They haven't come back from a losing position this season. Tonight they should have, though. I mean, I really do think they should have. They lost their way after the goal. It was a good goal. It was a well-taken goal, and they lost their way. And at that point, you sort of wonder whether they have the self-belief to recover. And the evidence of this season would suggest they haven't. But they kind of hung on, got to half-time. They started improving again. And the second half, I mean, I thought the second half was actually, funnily enough, I thought the second half was a really good performance against a Man United team who, for some reason, just sat off at that point.
Well, Manchester United were very depleted, so you have to say that. But they were on, literally hanging on. And, you know, the Manchester United reporters around
us and the ones we spoke to after the game said they haven't seen a game played solely in Manchester United's half like that all season, so a very, very long time, and we're talking about some pretty poor Manchester United teams. But that's the problem. Manchester United are not a great team, and they've managed to beat Newcastle, and they were missing several of their big players, and people don't want to hear good performance. That's the problem. That's where we're at now this season.
Well, I'll interrupt you, because in fact that was something that I asked Eddie Howe about afterwards.
You could make an argument that we should have got something from today, but ultimately we haven't, and we've had that feeling too many times on the road this year. As I said a second ago, I feel generally our performances have been better since the last international break, our one big blip. I thought today was another step forward in terms of performance, but no one really wants to hear that. No one really wants to sort of analyse that too deeply, because ultimately the result is the most important thing, and we're well aware of that, of the world that we live in. So the chance creation aspect, the ability to keep clean sheets, all these things are absolutely crucial away from home, and we haven't done either well enough.
Sorry, Luke, I rudely interrupt you there. But yeah, I mean, he made the same point that, you know, no one really wants to hear about good performances when it's accompanied by a very familiar sting of defeat.
Yeah, so that's it, and that's where we're at this season. Look, the pressure is increasing on Howe. There's a lot of anger on social media. I get all that. You know, people are lashing out at things I've said on there, and, you know, as you know, George, I'm perfectly used to being in that situation. But, you know, unless they solve these problems away from home, and just repeat it, they are going to have an average season. That's where they're at. Eddie Howe knows that. The players know that. I think there are problems in Nick Foltomada. Doesn't offer enough away from home. You know, he had no touches in the opposition box in the first half. When they were long periods of the game, they were actually dominating. They were getting into the final third, but he doesn't look like getting on the end of anything. So there are definitely issues there. Nobody's saying there aren't issues there. But, and I'm going to repeat, you know, people are asking me today, well, you know, when am I going to get worried? When am I going to start calling for the, you know, asking the manager tough questions? When are we going to be calling him for the go? When are we going to say he's under pressure? Well, can I just remind people, and context is key, Newcastle are in the semi-finals of the Carabao Cup again for the third time in 4 years. They have an excellent chance. They are one win away from reaching the knockout rounds of the Champions League.
Congratulations on your voice breaking, by the way.
For the first time in their history. This is not normal. In the 70 years of Newcastle United's history, none of where they are at the moment is normal. So, yes, the league form has been disappointing, frustrating, but in the wider context of the season, it could still be a very, very successful season. And arguably another one of the most successful seasons in Newcastle's history for, and I will repeat, 70 years.
No, I mean, I think those are all very, very valid points. I mean, I would agree with you. I mean, but at the same time, people are perfectly entitled not to agree and to have different opinions.
Well,
I think
it's a game of opinions.
It's a game of opinions. I mean, what I would also say is that it's kind of Eddie Howe's soaring standards that have got to Newcastle in the first place. To find 11th in the table unacceptable is largely as a result of the way we now think about Newcastle, which is as an elite team. Now, you know, and again, it's about whether you think it's tolerable for Newcastle to have a transitional season once they've shown that they can be trophy winners, once they've shown they can be a Champions League team. Now, I think my argument that I would say very strongly is that Eddie Howe has deserved the opportunity to navigate his way through a transitional season. It was always going to be transitional once Alexander Isak left, and left in the manner that he did at the time he did, and Newcastle were kind of forced to then play catch-up in the market. But if you're a Newcastle fan and you think to yourself, well, we've shown ourselves to be good enough to be fourth or fifth, that's our level, you can sort of understand why they don't think that 11th and losing another game is unacceptable. It's become a standard that he's set, and they're now not reaching those standards. I mean, that's obvious. I mean, it's not a criticism of Howe. It can't be. It wasn't his fault what happened in the summer, but, you know, he's the one that has to bear responsibility.
That's the job of a manager, isn't it? That's the price on the ticket. But I will say this, when you have a good manager, and we know Eddie Howe is a good manager, and you said it there, I think he deserves the chance or the opportunity to ride out what some might consider a disappointing season. It might still be a brilliant season. We don't know. But you look at Unai Emery at Aston Villa. They struggled last season, ended up almost getting Champions League. They went for a sticky spell. They couldn't buy a win at the start of the season. They couldn't buy a goal at the start of the season. They've now been on this phenomenal run. They're stuck by Unai Emery, and now he's getting all the plaudits and all the praise. And Aston Villa are being talked about as outsiders in the title race, which is where Newcastle were last season, when they went on their outstanding run. So football goes through periods of, peaks and troughs. You have difficult spells, but I don't think you turn on the most successful manager Newcastle United have had for 70 years because he's having a bad spell and the team are struggling to win away from home. You can be disappointed, you can be frustrated, you can say it's not acceptable, but that's not the same thing as leaping to, oh, it's time to change the manager. That's where I'm at. I don't think that's fair on Eddie Howe. I don't think that's the sort of club that Newcastle United should be. And I think it's telling, again tonight, that the fans who were at the game sang Eddie Howe's name throughout, as they have done at every home game. So I'm glad that support is still with him inside the stadium. And look, I get it's angry. We live in a society where you can be angry and you can say your reaction instantly. It's the beauty of social media. But I hope when people are listening to this podcast, perhaps, that they can just reflect a little bit. Let's not write this season off. It could still be a brilliant one.
I totally agree with that.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
When we're looking at sort of encouraging signs or reasons to be optimistic, we've got to look at Lewis Hall tonight, who I thought was just outstanding. I thought he was the man of the match, the best player on the pitch, right from the start, was causing problems on the left. I thought he linked up very well with Anthony Gordon for long periods. And again, that was something that I talked to Eddie Howe about.
Yeah, really good to see Lewis return to the form that he had pre-injury. Yeah, it's very, very good technically today. I put him and Anthony down the left-hand side, played really well today. Together with Louis Miley on the opposite side, who again, I thought was outstanding. Probably our three strongest players. But ultimately, we're a team, of course, and the team hasn't functioned well enough to win the game.
Yes, I think Lewis Hall, he's only 21. That's what I find incredible. He's had an injury disrupt. He had a really serious injury, missed a lot of last season. He's had to be eased back. They've looked after him really, really well because people were screaming for him to come back into the team, and that they protected him and they made sure he was fit, which is exactly what they're doing with Wissa as well. They're not just throwing him straight back in. That's James Bunce, the performance director's input, looking at the dangers of them picking up another injury and managing their game time. But I agree with you, he was phenomenal today. The way he links up with attacks, he defended really well. He's become a really solid defender, more than that actually. He's really strong, but he pops up in midfield and he can also fly down the wing, and he deserved the goal today as well. That shot, it's one of those, it's ifs, buts and maybes, but Manchester United scored a wonderful volley that went in. Hall curls one, dipping, perfectly placed, well, not quite perfectly placed, it hits the underside of the crossbar, spins outwards rather than in. That's millimetres away, and if he'd have scored that, we'd probably be having a very different conversation about the whole evening. But yeah, best player on the pitch, and it's great that he's a Newcastle United player, because I think he will be England's first choice left back at the World Cup if he continues to play like that.
Here we are. It's nearly the end of 2025. We've got one more game to go away at Burnley. I do think that Newcastle need to win that, or they, you would like to think they will win it. You would like to think that if they played like they did in the second half here or in the first half against Chelsea, that they will win it, and then perhaps things might feel a bit different. I do think, though, it's going to be this kind of season. I'm struggling to sort of...
It's going to be a hard season. It's going to be a hard season.
They're going to go on a long run. I just think it's going to be bitty all the way through. I think that's the position that they've been left in this season, and it's been really tough. Did you think? Here's my question to you. we've seen Newcastle win a trophy. It's been the thing that I've always wanted to see all through my life. You've written about the club, followed the club for a very, very long time during some really good moments under Sir Bobby and some pretty terrible moments in the Ashley era. Did you sort of think we'd be having this like kind of bitty conversation about things being slightly unsettled or uncertain at Newcastle at the end of this year? It's funny, isn't it? I mean, I thought last season, wouldn't care about these things anymore.
Well, it's funny because you go back 12 months and when they didn't sign a player for almost 2 years, you know, they didn't sign a player to improve the first team squad. They did nothing to help the squad last year. Last season could have easily been this season, if that makes sense, in fact. But I think it will ultimately come down to recruitment this season, and it was a bad summer. You know, you can almost trace everything back to that summer, and you've touched on it there. They've lost their 20-plus goals season striker. They are priceless. The whole attack was built around Alexander Isak. I know you don't want to talk about him. I know, you know, he's gone, but that was always going to derail them. Walter Marder is a riddle. He is a good player, but I'm not sure he's a good player for Newcastle. But he has scored important goals and he's done well, but he hasn't played well away from home for a long, long time.
And I think he's a wild card player, isn't he? He's a maverick player, he's a wild card player. He's had incredible moments, but I'm not sure he's had incredible matches. Actually, you know, Chelsea perhaps was a sign that he could play in that kind of very recognisable Eddie Howe style. But I agree with what you say about tonight. It's just like long stretches in matches, particularly away from home. He's not touching the ball. And if he is touching the ball,
and he's losing the ball.
And he's not impacting the game, you know, and you need players to impact. That is a conundrum. I mean, a conundrum is a good way of putting it, that, you know, that is a, he's a puzzle that you have to work out. I mean, you know, we've seen he's scoring goals for Germany, he's playing for Germany, he's obviously got a lot of quality, but does he have the quality to play in Newcastle's system? And again, here Newcastle are still picking up the pieces from the summer where ultimately they felt like they were left with no choice but to sign him and no choice but to sign Wisser, who of course has been disastrous in terms of that injury he had, albeit, you know, he comes on tonight and is gradually making his way back to fitness. And I don't think it's unfair and I don't think it's unreasonable to go back to the summer and talk about what happened and said that this is a result of it. If Isak had stayed or if Wisser had been fit, I think we've been talking about a very different Newcastle.
I think it is a hard season. You've got to ask yourself, how much can you take? How much can you accept? Because it is going to be a hard season. It's not going to be all sweetness and light. Progression is not linear. Great cliche from management speak there. But it's not, progression is not linear. They are going to have a dip. They are going to have disappointments. They are going to have frustrations. It's just, how much do you blame that solely on the manager and say, oh, he's all to blame for it, and that somebody else will come in and do a better job than Eddie Howe has done? I would say, and I keep saying it, he deserves the chance, afforded the luxury of some time, because you could easily sack him, bring in another manager, and things would get worse. So
if I was to be...
I don't think many fans are calling for him to be sacked.
No, I don't. But I suppose to play devil's advocate, or to put it a slightly different way, I don't think the differential between home form and away form helps his cause, because what it feels like is that Newcastle are repeating the same mistakes, or the same thing is happening time and time again away from home. Now, I'd argue that tonight was different in terms of possession, dominance. It was, you know, they didn't lie down like they did at Sunderland. It was a different attitude and a different setup. But if the same kind of result happens over and over again, it doesn't reflect very well on the man who picks the team, sets the team up.
Of course.
Because it looks like he's not finding answers. So I think that would be the counterpoint to what you're saying. I mean, it's the manager, so ultimately it's his responsibility. But I think that's why he does need to find a way to get
it. Needs to improve away from home. Yeah, it needs to improve away from home. Starting at Burnley, it's as simple as that. As I said at the very start of this podcast, if they don't improve their away form, it's going to be a mediocre season.
Do we have anything else to say?
It's a long drive home.
Here we are. We're in a car park. You've heard lots of car park noises. We're bringing you the colours, the sights, the sounds.
It's Old Trafford in the background.
We've been walking and talking. We're now back at my car. We've got 3 hours to get back home. Thank you for listening, if any of you still are. This is not the kind of result that makes you want to revel in football, but we do appreciate you listening. And onwards and upwards. Thanks, Luke.
And Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Boxing Day.
Yeah, and all the best for 2026. Well, that's a nice thing to say.
It's a nice thing to say. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
another defeat on the road and another poor Boxing Day showing from the Magpies. No team has lost more games the day after Christmas than Newcastle United, who now sit on 48 defeats in the Premier League era. Thanks to George and Luke for their endeavours, and a safe journey home to them and all of those travelling mags as well. We'll be back New Year's very, very soon. From everybody, Pod on the Tyne, Merry Christmas. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.